Blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
What feast? So many feasts. What? In this joyful time, having finished the beautiful days of the Lord's nativity, not finishing them actually, they crescendo into the feast of the Lord's theophany. You see the icon still before us, the flowers. And today is what is called the leave-taking of theophany, where we do the feast all over again in many ways so we can remember it. Not just remember it, live it. So it has a lasting impression on our everyday lives and our hearts. And of course, in the ancient church, as we talked about, this feast of theophany and the Lord's nativity were one. And the culmination was this feast, this day, this photesis, this illumination that our Lord becomes a humble child, not just a humble child, a man, suffering like us, broken like us, experiencing hunger, weeping at the death of his friend Lazarus, knowing us in every way. One Saint Bishop Nikolai Vladimirovich says, "You know why I'm not a Muslim? Because that guy is lonely." And Saint Justin, my saint, said, "I would never be a Muslim. You know why? Because Allah is the most lonely. And he doesn't know my pain. He doesn't know my pain. He doesn't know what it means to hunger and thirst. He's far off away from us. But Christ, this is true love. And love is God. He came down to us." People might hear that and go, "Oh gosh, that's not very politically correct, Father Justin." I don't care. I love everybody. I have Muslim friends. I'm not saying that, but the truth matters. And that's what makes Christianity different than everything else in the whole world. So radically different from the paganism of the old times, of the pantheon of gods, or the modern pantheon of gods in India, and Hindu, and Vishnu, and all these kind of things, or Judaism, and the law. We're all guilty under the law, right? It helps create sin, St. Paul says. We're guilty. You're not going to follow the law. It's impossible. You're going to grovel. We don't have a God that wants us to grovel. We have a God that groveled to us, so to speak. He who was great became humble. The way up is the way down, our Lord shows us. And this feast, this culminates in this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, right? That we could have light, illumination, photesis, that we don't just say, "Oh yeah, Jesus came, it's so neat." That's worthless, really, if our faith is just words and saying, and beautiful Orthodox, we have a beautiful choir. I mean, that Trisagion, I mean, when you stand in the liturgy, how can we feel like we're not in heaven? You know how St. Vladimir, right there, of Russia, you know how he found the Orthodox Church? He was searching for religion for his empire. Religion for the Slavic people. And he sent emissaries over the whole world to look at all the different religions. People say it was a political decision. Mm-mm. This is the main reason why. He sent emissaries to Hagia Sophia, the Church of the Holy Wisdom, the biggest Christian church in the world, in Constantinople. Beautiful church, and they walked into liturgy, and they came back and said, "Well, I don't really know what they believe, but all I know is this, is that we couldn't tell if we were in heaven or on earth. We know that God dwells there." And based on that testimony, he invited bishops, and all the Holy Rus became baptized Orthodox Christians. But that's how the faith spread. Being in the liturgy, experiencing the grace of God. It has to go beyond. I mean, yes, we have a beautiful choir, but why do we have beautiful choirs? So it penetrates this hard heart. Why do we have beautiful iconography? So they can erase these disgusting images we have from out there. All the stuff we see, whether we want to or not. All the stuff, all the putridity of this world and the billboards, we come in here to have that erased by holy imagery. The stench of this world, of death, of decay, we smell the incense to remind us of the kingdom of heaven. These candles, the light compared to the darkness of this world. Right? The music to elevate us, all the garbage of the world we hear, lies, deceits, all these terrible things, criticisms, we come and hear holy words from the chanters. And ancient melodies that aren't modern, they're there. Why do we have special tones? Why don't we make up our own American Orthodox music? For a very important reason. Because American music is passionate. It's carnal. It's supposed to rouse the passions. The music of the church is supposed to help erase those passions and elevate the soul to kingdom of God. That's why we're very careful with the music we have and our chanters, right? And I'm careful what we chant, what we don't chant, because this is a space where we meet Christ. Or not. It's a place where you come in, your mind's wandering, and you leave totally unchanged. Photesis, illumination, not me. Now would be the saddest thing of all, brothers and sisters. The saddest thing of all. How are we going to put on this feast? I was really blessed this past week to go to visit a little monastery in New Mexico near where I went to college, myself, Father Paul, our assistant priest, my two boys. And it was like paradise. It had been a long time since I've been to a monastery, very busy here, and my wife expecting our new baby, and only after his birth and things calmed down a bit, I was able to go and bring Father Paul for the first time there. And it was no cell phone, no email, nothing worked. Everything worked, actually. You know, we're so caught up. If I'm caught up, my gosh, you must really be caught. You might say, no, I'm busy, but I really know how to use my phone, right? And I'm crazy. So I know how hard it is for you with your jobs and the world. I mean, it's insane making. And God can feel so far, and your faith can feel so weak. And I can tell you, there's no atheist in this place. Your heartbeat wakes you up. Father Paul's like, it rained all night. I said, no, look. Oh, there's a rushing river going by. All you could hear was the river and your heartbeat. And all you could see at night was the most unbelievable stars you could ever see in your life. Hands down, my kids will tell you, hands, it was freezing cold and we're laying out there. I mean, shooting star, Jupiter, this. How can there be atheists? By the way, majority of atheists, by the way, are in big cities. Because they don't look at the things of God. They don't see those things. But even us Orthodox Christians to whom all the healing has been given, we're often not taking the medicine. We're caught up, myself first among you. And I can't tell you how my faith was restored and my prayer. And God is just present. Be still and know that I'm God. We're never still. Never. It was really, really powerful. My boys as well. Father Paul was in tears the whole time. I felt so restored. You know what's funny? I felt closer to each of you at the monastery than I have in the past couple months of busyness. Our church is very busy. We're moving fast, and you got to make an appointment with me, and I miss seeing you. I felt closer to many of you in that quiet place of prayer. You know, St. Paul says we should have everyone in our hearts, and many of you have this place in my heart. It was so nice to have time just to be with you. I don't mean that in a fruitful way. I mean to pray for you and to think about you in a deep, quiet way. And I really felt close to you. That's what monastics can feel and be more connected to the world than a person in New York City. You can be the loneliest person in the world in New York City. And you can be the most connected person in the whole world, often a monastery somewhere. These monks and nuns are connected with us deep in the heart. The problem is that we're not in the heart. And that's really what the spiritual life is about, is getting past the exterior, layers, peeling layers of the onion, peeling. And as you go down, letting Christ descend, as Christ descended into Hades, descending into the hell of your human heart. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Christianity is not morality, brothers and sisters. Morality is an essential part of it. It's the first step. You're afraid of your sins. When I first became Orthodox, I went, shoot, I'm blowing it. I'm in darkness. And I'm causing a lot of this. I'm afraid. That was good. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't stay there. But you can't skip that step, by the way. Right? Oh, God just loves me. It doesn't matter what I do. Nonsense. Forget it. Right? You realize, I'm sick. Whoa. I better stop it now. Repentance happens, and baptism happens, and renewal takes place, but we still struggle. Our hearts are still drawn to the things of the world. We're baptized and go, what happened? I thought, I felt this illumination. I tasted paradise. I think this is my life. And then the world rushes in on us. We have to keep peeling. Just being a good boy and being a good girl doesn't invite eternity to your heart. Doesn't do it. It's the first step. Purity, for instance, is very important. Physical purity, purity from sexual passions, uprooting those, it's very important. Why? Because it clears the way, the path to your heart. If the path is full of rocks, you can't go down there. So the life of repentance, the life of prayer that we do in this community, praying a lot, keeping a prayer rule if you don't have one, go having a spiritual father, being accountable to somebody, being humble, trying to be humble, admitting you're not, going to confession regularly, you know, once a month, like we say, doing these things, living this, turning the other cheek, this drills into your heart. Right on the heels of your repentance comes the mercy of God. Comes this illumination. Right? No one has descended. Right? He who descended is he who ascended. So Christ wants to take up his throne in your heart, but you must let him do it. And that's what the spiritual life is about. That's what the ascetical life is about. People are like, and I know sometimes, I'll tell you this, before I realized what an idiot I was, I don't know how to say it any other way. The way the priests bugged me, the way they spoke bugged me. It was like, you know, I'm here on Sunday. Just give it a rest. You know what I mean? I would often say, like, are you people here Saturday night too? And then there's service every day, and my parish didn't have service every day. If it did, I would have been really critical, I'm sure, initially. But you know why? It accused me. It accused me. How does it affect me if the priest is there? I'm not there. I don't have to be there. You go to work, I'm here, and how does it affect you? But it accused me because I knew that something was missing. I knew there was more, and I wanted to be complacent in my spiritual life. Hey, I'm baptized, I'm Orthodox, just back off, all right? Right? The Lord says, don't be lukewarm. I'll spit you out. He wants all of our heart. It's like being married to a wife and saying, hey, don't get too close, babe. I married you, put the ring on, just let me watch sports, you do your thing, we're good. That's not a marriage, it's hell. That's two become one, that's two people just going like this and eventually go like that. And then sin comes and it's destroyed. Same relationship with God. You come in, there's a courtship, there's beauty, and you have a choice to become one with your spouse through humility and love and sacrifice. Or to become one with Christ through humility and love and sacrifice. A guy often goes, you know, when a priest says to him and says, and you might try actually doing something for your wife. You might try like doing the dishes. You might try loving her more than yourself. Why do you tell me, priest? I hear this sometimes. Why do you tell me? You think I want to tell you? You think I like you disliking me? No, I'm telling you because, you know what? It works. I'm telling you because if you do it and you humble yourself, you'll have an incredible marriage. I don't care if you hate me for a while. That's fine. I want you to have a beautiful marriage or relationship with your kids. I'll tell parents sometimes, don't be such a jerk to your kids. Like, actually care about them. Spend time. How dare you speak to me that way, Father? They're my children. Okay. It'd be easier for me to step back and say nothing. Have no services. Minimal. We'll just do liturgy on Sunday morning. And you can come. I can say nice words and tell you how great you are. You can come to this hospital full of cancer and I can tell you, you know what? You don't have cancer at all. You're beautiful. Right? No, the reality is, we're sick. I'm sick. We're all sick. This is the hospital. And my job, which stinks sometimes, and it's glorious other times, is to tell you, you're sick. And I need to help you. I don't care if you hate me. This is the medicine. It's right here, confession. It's right here on the gospel, on the holy table. It's in the gospel. It's in communion. It's very hard to be a priest sometimes. It's a real cross because people often go, why are you so tough? Why? It's easier to say nothing. It's easy to stand here and just preach platitudes and say, don't even talk about confession. I don't want to upset you. Don't talk about sin. Someone tells me, Father, I'm leaving your church. Why? I feel like a sinner when I come to your church. I go to other churches and I feel really good and warm. Sorry. Right? That's fake warmth. It's not real love. It's fake love. If you go to a hospital and you're sick and you go in and say, no, you're great. You look great. You're actually fantastic. You're in tip-top shape, buddy. You go, yes. But what if it's not true? That's not love. They should go to jail, lose their license as a doctor. So please forgive the church. Sometimes in your heart, forgive these saints that seem to accuse us. Forgive the bishops and the priests and your priest who loves you. This is hard, but I care about you. I felt all of you so close to the monastery. And I felt all of your pains even more. And the pain in your marriage when it's not going well. And the pain when you're not close to your children. And the pain of some of the kids who are totally disconnected from their parents. And the ravages of sin. And how hard so many of us are in the throes of being attacked. And we are addicted. Many of you, us here, are addicted to things. But you know what's beautiful? We're here. And we're doing it together. And my job is to slug on. And we all grab on together. And we carry our cross to the kingdom of God. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Why are we doing all this? Why come to confession? Why pray? Why struggle? Why go out of your comfort zone? Because it brings in healing. And all I can explain it is this way. You taste eternity. When I slowed down at the monastery, eternity was right there. You know, when Orthodox Father Dimitri Steniloi, a great theologian of the Romanian church, he suffered in the prison camps under the communists as well for 10 years, he said this, and I'm simplifying for the sake of time. He said, time and eternity aren't disconnected from each other. He says, do you know what time is? It's the distance between the time it takes for us to reply to the love of God. He said, in the persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're in a constant communion of constant love that's immediately reciprocated. So it's timeless. It's eternal. But time, he says, is the time it takes for us to reply to the love of God. And he says, when we repent and we say, forgive me, repent, we enter into the grace of God, the ascetical life, striving, pushing ourselves to love. It's hard carrying a cross. Guess what? You're beginning that response. Time is coming down and you're approaching eternity. That's how we taste eternity. How beautiful is that? How deep is our theology and orthodoxy? That sounds highfalutin, but it wasn't highfalutin thinking that I experienced the monastery. What I experienced was a bunch of humble, joyful men. More joyful than so many of us. Bounding with childlike joy. They're in the old calendar. They were singing Christmas carols with my kids. They were cheersing each other. They were singing. It was so beautiful and childlike. How can we have that joy? Let's get to the bottom line. Christ came, said, I want to bring them joy and have it be full. And I'm sick of not being joyful. I'm sick of being up and down and, like, kind of, we're all like, you know, like multi-personality, bipolar spiritually. We're up, oh, we're down, we're up, we're down. I'm happy, I'm sad. Ice cream, good. It's fasting, depressed. You know, we're a mess. But we're called to be rooted on something much deeper, right? Christ says, if we're on a rock with Him, the wind can blow. We don't sway. How many of us do? Why? Because we're not rooted to the rock, Christ. And that's why you need to go to confession. Not because we're good, because I'm the idiot of all. I need confession. I had a beautiful confession with the abbot there. It was so helpful. I'll tell you what he told me. I said, so beautiful here, Father. He says, it is. He said, it's hard for us. He said, our whole life is Hezekiah, which means in Greek, stillness. He says, we try to preserve that stillness. He says, but here's your job. Take some of it with you and bring it back to your people. And tell them you can have it in the city. There were many, many monasteries in cities. Holiness isn't just limited to one place or the other. One elder, they asked him from Athos, someone said, how is Mount Athos, the holy land, how is it different than this terrible place of America? He goes, it's no different. Same, God's the same everywhere. You see? They wanted to hear, oh, only in the monastery can be holy, only. It's nonsense. Monasteries are special places set aside for quiet and prayer. And it makes a good environment for holiness, but you can be holy in anywhere. In the subway, in your car, anywhere. But he said, you know what he said? He said, we have to work harder than those monks do in many ways. Wow. It's harder. And the reward is even greater, he said. How do we do that? First, take the medicine of the church. Please don't let what me and Father Paul said in the priesthood, don't let it go in one ear out the other. And beautifully, so many of you do listen. I'm so thankful to God. And don't think I'm saying it to make you feel guilty or to feel bad or to harp. Remember, oh, remember this. It would be easier for me to say nothing. That would be more of a relief to me. It's hard for me to say these things sometimes. It's hard for a doctor to say, you know what? I'm sorry, you have cancer. But, we have the greatest healing, so don't worry. And that's why I have boldness to tell you. Yeah, we are proud. We're full of sin. I don't want any of us to die not being ready. And let me tell you, many of us are not ready. Let's be honest with ourselves. We know how arrogant we are. We know how proud we are. How we judge people constantly. In our minds, we gossip about people. We talk. We look at junk we shouldn't look at on the internet. We look at people we shouldn't look at. We think thoughts we shouldn't do. We're greedy. We're selfish. We barely pray. Who are we kidding? And we think that if we close our eyes in this world and wake up in the next, it's going to just be no consequence? But I don't even say it to scare you. I say it to wake you up. Because if you take the medicine to church, I know, I have people say, please come to confession. I know people that hear it, and I always look at the person behind them, and I've still never seen them come. I don't judge them. I worry about you. I care about you. People who blow off fasting, and I know it, it breaks my heart. Why? Because I want to control you? No, I can care. I don't want to be in charge of your life, because you have passions and addictions that are only broken and healed by that medicine. It's like a doctor is the greatest medicine, saying, here, take this, please. And then seeing some people just go, I don't want it. I don't need that. What's this doctor think he's giving? I don't need this. I'm fine. The doctor weeps. No, please. I'm sick too, brothers and sisters. That was abundantly clear to me every moment. At the monastery, I saw my sickness more than ever. But I don't despair, because we have the great healer, Christ. This community is so beautiful and growing. We're going to build this new church. People are searching for God. Why? Because we're nice people. These are really lovely people, but there's nicer people in the world. Believe it. Right? Because we're moral, hopefully. But there's even more morality in the world in some ways. Because there's holiness and healing, and this is really the church of Christ, the hospital. That's what makes it different than anywhere else. But you know what? It's no good if we're not good patients. If the full TCs of this feast, at the illumination. You heard the gospel today. Isaiah said, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah saw my heart and yours. That the light of Christ will come and dawn on this heart. But the most terrible thing is this. If the light of God dawns and we snuff it out because we choose this world, We choose our ego. We choose our laziness and pride over that. And we say, no, I know better. I'm fine. To snuff out the illumination of God in our life. God can't force his way into your heart. No priest can. All God can do is call you. He walks in the scriptures. By the way, when St. Mark the Ascetic says, you want to walk with Christ? What Christ defines you walking? As he walked in Judea, open the Holy Scriptures. Open the Gospel, and he'll walk and find you every day. All I can do is try to inspire you. Inspire my own. I'm talking to myself above all. Please, brothers and sisters, there's no special. Then there's no Barnes & Noble book. There's no special esoteric secret teaching. Just be here. Be here at the Vespers on Saturday night. Come to confession on a regular basis. Right? Keep the fast of the church. Do your morning, evening prayers. Be together in fellowship. And you know what happens? Illumination happens. I'll tell you, once you taste eternity, it's beautiful and scary. One of the books I was reading at the monastery had one line that caught me. This priest said, on earth, we are just beginning to learn how to live. On earth, we are just beginning to learn how to live. Just beginning? What do you mean? I'm 70 years old. We're getting ready to open and turn a new page. It could be tomorrow, brothers and sisters. Ask Andrew. Ask him. His father died. Our dear subject, his father, suddenly, a dear man. I thought about him all week. You know why? His dad gave me a pair of sweatpants years ago. And I was wearing them all week at the monastery. Funny little thing. You know, Paul, who passed away suddenly. You don't think it come like that? It can come in a rush. And I want it to be joyful. I don't want you to be full of fear. I don't want to be afraid. I don't know about when my mom died. I felt paradise. I felt eternity so close. And I wanted to repent. We can forget it. It can get a little bit weak and dull. It's not dull for him. And you know what? There's lots of suffering. There's lots of pain. Let's live this Christian life. And nothing can take our joy from us. Nothing if we live this way. I have my book today. I was opening it up to the liturgy and Deacon Christopher was going through the lists and he said, you want to throw this one away? And I said, no, I recognize this. Oh, that's my mom's handwriting. My mom's handwriting passed away. And something little. And what is it? It's a list that she gave me of all the people that she knew that committed suicide in her life. And she was asking me, she gave me this and said, please don't forget these people. Right? Don't forget them in your private prayers. It's a little thing. You might say, well, it's a sentimental thing. No. Eternity. She cared about it in this life, and now she's there in the next life, and it could be a blink of an eye, and you're there. I got to be ready. I want to be ready. I have to be ready to answer for all of you. So forgive me. If I say, hey, come to confession. Come on. I love you. Don't get offended. If I say, let's fast together. Let's do prayers together. Let's be more serious about our spiritual life together. Let's stop this. Let's do it together. Let's march towards paradise together, brothers and sisters. And please don't be offended. You can't come to church all the time? Who cares? You have a job? We know that. But how beautiful that every day, myself, Father Paul, there's the bloodless sacrifice. This liturgy every day is taking place for you. Sanctifying you in school or at work or wherever you are. Those in prisons, those in the ship, everyone's being blessed. I really glorify God for this community. And I glorify God for you. And I felt it acutely when I was at the monastery that my heart was so full of each of you. And I was so excited. I love the monastery. I hardly want to leave. But I wanted to run back here to be at this liturgy, to be with you. And we get to be in paradise together, often. So may this feast, may we be illumined, brothers and sisters. Me first. Let's be good patients. Let's take the medicine of the church. Let's rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's weep with those who weep. Let's live this life seriously together. So we can have great joy amongst the struggles in this life, but even more. But when our eyes close and we open them in eternity, it's an unfathomable, phenomenal joy we never imagined possible. This is our life. This is our joy as Orthodox Christians. Let us do it together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.